Species Interaction, Part 9. The last person that Jensen expected to show up at his abode was Chad the admissions jerk. Honestly, he figured that if the Academy did deign to send anybody to speak with him, they might send a lawyer to deal, or maybe an innocent-looking underling who would be too scared to say anything if Jensen went off on him. Not that Chad wasn't an underling, but the innocent-looking part didn't apply. Jensen thought it was the squinty eyes. Normally he'd be all over anybody that physically stereotyped, but hey, he'd been all over the pro-Seraph bandwagon too, and that hadn't turned out so hot for him. Still, the laundromat wasn't exactly hopping with business any more than it normally was during Jensen's shift, and there was only so much angsting about his wasted past and dubious future that he could do. Chad's greeting of, "Hi, fellow blackmailer," almost caused Jensen to toss him back out on the sidewalk. Jensen would rather navel gaze than put up with that, but part of him was curious about Chad's presence, so he let the man come farther into the business instead of shoving him right back out. For a group of people trying to keep a low profile, they should learn how to teach you some tact, Jensen told him with disdain. Dude, I blackmailed them. Tact is so not required, Chad said as he strolled around and checked his reflection out in the empty washers and dryers. Jensen grunted and tried not to roll his eyes.
So I take it that they got my letter?
Yeah, they did. I don't think they were too happy about it, but hey, they have me working there. Giving you some fancy-ass recommendation is nothing compared to that.
They're going to give in, then?
Jensen tried to keep the excitement out of his voice as he asked, but he failed miserably. The relief of having a clean academic record and a recommendation on top of that would be a pathetically huge weight off his shoulders. Maybe without it he could focus on the nagging, burning sensation in his guts, or start in on taking those steps to getting over Jared.
I'd assume so. It isn't like you're asking for a helicopter and $1 million in unmarked bills, Chad replied with a shrug.
Jensen tried not to get upset with the guy, but really.
First of all, I'm only taking advantage of their own duplicity. I'm not robbing a bank. Second of all, what do you mean, I assume?
Hey, I'm not judging. Those guys have it coming to them someday, you know? I mean, sure, they need their mates, we'll die without them, one forever, blah blah, blitty blah blah. They could be just a bit more honest, is all I'm saying. If this shit was out in the open, they wouldn't have to put up with me and my slacking ways. Of course, then I'd actually have to find a job, but I figure I could make the talk show circuits and have a ghostwriter write my memoirs or something. If I invested my money right, I'd be set for life.
What do you mean, I assume?
Jensen reiterated with particular force on the words.
What do you think I mean? I mean, I assume. Just because I work for them and know their dirty secret, that doesn't mean that they keep me in the loop.
They kind of try to keep me out of their business if they can. I mean, one of these days I could blackmail for a promotion, you know? Chad said as he shot Jensen an overconfident smirk.
They didn't send you? Jensen asked.
No, did I say that they did? Chad asked right back, tilting his head like he thought Jensen was the one making Chad's reason for being at the laundromat confusing. Jensen frowned.
What are you doing here, then?
I came to give you this, Chad said, as he reached into the messenger bag that he had slung over his shoulder. He pulled a stack of papers out that had a cover sheet on them marked confidential in big red letters.
I can't read that, Jensen automatically said.
He'd already violated enough ethical rules by blackmailing the Academy. He didn't want to add to his conscience.
Of course you can, Chad scoffed. It's your file. Or one of them, anyway. It has all the notes from when you had your enrollment interview. You know, the one you failed? Jensen's fingers twitched, but he kept his hands by his sides. I can't take that. It isn't. Don't you want to know why they didn't let you in all those years ago? Chad interrupted him, waving the thick stack of white paper under Jensen's nose. Jensen looked down at the floor. Chad just dropped the paper farther down to block Jensen's view of the carpet. Angrily, Jensen snatched the papers away. When he glared at Chad, the other human was grinning. "Happy with yourself?" Jensen asked, his voice as sarcastic and scathing as he could make it. "Fucking thrilled, man. So, you gonna look?" "No." "Pansy." "Look." Pansy asked Featherfucker. "Chad, you need to take this back to..." Pansy asked Yellow-bellied Featherfucker. "Would you quit? And seriously, Yellow-bellied? Who says that?" "I don't know. You tell me. I'm not the Texan," Chad said with an inappropriate grin. "We don't say that," Jensen ground out. "Dude, Westerns, you totally say that. Besides, I don't see you objecting to the feather-fucking part. Old Jay give you a little tail? Or, I guess, tail feather?" "That's it," Jensen snapped. "Get out of my store." "This isn't a store. It's a place that old grannies and starving people go to wash their grundies." "Out," Jensen yelled, pointing towards the door. "Public place, man." "This is a place of business, and you are not a customer," Jensen snarled. Chad shrugged, pulled off the jacket he was wearing, and dropped it in the closest washer. He dug quarters out of his pocket and started the machine going. "Guess I'm a customer now." "You're washing one jacket without any detergent." "I'm allergic," Chad said smugly. "Oh, for the love of God, take this back," Jensen ordered as he shoved the papers towards Chad. "No can do. You read that or I wash each and everything that I'm wearing, one item at a time." Jensen's eyes narrowed. "Why is this so important to you?" Chad huffed and his face turned slightly red. "Look, I don't agree with what those guys do, okay? And I don't think that they treated you fairly or whatever, but it's tearing you up inside, and I'm not the world's worst guy. They're so scared of being outed or whatever that they're not seeing the big picture of how this could come back to bite them in the ass. But neither are you." "Come again," Jensen snapped, his eyes narrowing in anger. "I get it, I do. But you're having some sort of meltdown or something over what those guys did. So I brought you one of your application files. Take a look, see what they said," Chad encouraged him. "I don't need to know what they said," Jensen replied. "I wish that they'd never changed their minds about me in the first place, but now that I know what they are, I don't care that I wasn't their first idea of a perfect fuck toy." "Dude, that's harsh. They don't think that." Jensen tried not to get more irate at the guy, the human standing in front of him, but he didn't do a good job of that. "How can you even say that? How can you defend them when you know what they do?" "And what do they do, huh? Set people up on dates without their knowledge? Nobody is getting roofied or coerced into anything." "And you think it's okay that they're selling themselves as an educational place when their entire goal is to get their offspring married? You think it's okay that they have this elaborate system designed to hide their true intentions? I didn't sign up for eHarmony. I signed up for an educational experience and a chance to make a difference in the world. They tried to pair me off. I thought real schools stopped that crap back with the women's rights movements," Jensen argued. "I get it, your dreams are crushed. But you're going off the deep end here. This whole blackmailing thing isn't you. Those students at the academy? They're going to get jobs and maybe somebody that will love them for the rest of their lives. Is that such a bad thing?" It's deceitful and dishonest, and you have no idea who I am. You don't know me, Jensen growled. Of course I do. You know why? Because I read that file. I read every single one of your application files because I'm not you. I don't have this great, caring attitude or the stand-up-for-the-right-thing mentality. I don't have a giant ruler shoved up my ass telling me what to do. Jensen slapped the file against Chad's chest. The other man's hands came up reflexively to clutch at it. Get out before I call the cops and have you arrested. For doing my laundry? For getting into an argument with a man trying to blackmail the fine establishment that I work at? Are you threatening me? Jensen's incredulity shone through. I told you that I'm not you. I'm not the guy who was a perfect candidate, except for how he was too much of a security concern. You were too bright, man. They were worried that you were going to figure out what was going on before you mated, and then you'd be telling on them. Your scores on everything else were flawless, if it makes you feel any better. Chad's words softened as he spoke. Great, Jensen said snidely as he tried not to feel the pang of old hurt at finally getting the answer to his rejection for all those years. That's all. Will you leave now? Jacket still isn't done washing, Chad pointed out. I'll mail it to you. Okay, well then, how about we talk about Jared? How about we don't, and you quit talking to me about stuff that really isn't any of your business? So it really doesn't bother you that you're punishing him for something that isn't his fault? Chad asked. If I was going to discuss Jared with you, which I'm not, I'd tell you that he knew. He knew and he still didn't tell me until he really didn't have a choice. Is that the kind of lover you'd want to end up with? Dude, he's not human. You get that, right? Maybe he could have told you earlier, and I really don't doubt that there are some secrets that he should have let you in on. But the guy was doing what he always had been taught was the right thing to do. He loves you in a stupidly huge way. He wouldn't do stuff to purposely hurt you. He loves me in a stupidly huge way, Jensen echoed, his emotions overriding his decision to not discuss anything with Chad. So do stalkers, Chad. So do weirdos, And do you believe? No. Do you even think that Jared is one of those guys? Some asshole that is just obsessed with you because he's got a mental imbalance? He's your mate. Chad stressed the last word as hard as he could. You've been around them too long, if that's your argument, Jensen told him. Bullshit. You think that I don't know how you're feeling right now? I've seen a lot of mated pairs walk out those school doors, and they don't like being away from each other. You trying to tell me that you're not feeling anything towards him right now? You mean to tell me that there isn't even the smallest part of you that cares about him anymore? The challenge to dare contradict him was clear in Chad's eyes. Jensen never did like backing down from a challenge. Maybe that is exactly what I'm trying to tell you, he said, even as his insides twisted that much harder at the lie. Just thinking about Jared hurt, talking about him was worse. Yeah? Then I think I'll wait around for the show if it's all the same to you, Chad said with a level of smugness that made Jensen want to slap him. What show? He bit out around the increasing pain in his chest. It felt like his own heartbreak wanted to come alive and just shove out of him. And seriously, he could do his own grieving in private. He didn't need Chad the fucking clerk to be there to watch it happen. Well, see, Jared's outside waiting to talk to you. If you're gonna tell him the same thing that you just told me, then I want to be around for the fireworks. Jensen's mouth opened a bit in shock before he closed it tightly, compressing his lips into a thin line. There was no way that he was going to give Chad the satisfaction of gaping at him. You're a terrible person, you know that? Jensen asked as he stalked over to the large windows that faced the street. He meant his proclamation wholeheartedly. He could understand people who liked to watch this sort of thing on television. It was cathartic in a way, or even just plain entertaining. But there was a difference between television and real life, and he wasn't about to explain that fact to Chad. With Jensen's luck, the bastard wouldn't understand the concept anyway. Chad, for his part, didn't seem to care that Jensen had just insulted his character. "Whatever, dude. I'm not the one who is breaking his own mate's heart," were his exact words. "He's not my..." Jensen trailed off as his eyes finally landed on Jared. It was a little embarrassing how long it took him to identify the giant hulk of Jared's tall form, but Jensen had never seen Jared hide his wings before. It wasn't that it was that unusual for a seraph to cover up his or her wings, even though their propagation levels kept them in the minority compared to humans. Jensen had seen quite a few of them throughout his life. Wings were just as easily injured as any other limb, and if a seraph broke a wing, they were known to cover it up and just blend in like a human that was forced to walk from place to place instead of soaring in the skies, or, as the less accepting of humanity's members said, hopping around town like pigeons and seagulls. But Jared hadn't once hid his wings from public viewing. Not even when he was plucking and had horrible gaps in his coverage had he taken to folding his wings tightly behind him and covering them with a giant overcoat. That he was doing so now bothered Jensen on some level. He hated himself for the instant worry that sprang to his mind. He tried to grab on to the anger and hurt that resided there with it, but those feelings kept slipping away. They didn't disappear. How could they? He wasn't some robot that could just turn off his emotions, but he couldn't pull them to the forefront either. "Just so you know, he's kind of pathetic right now," Chad's voice interrupted Jensen's internal conflict. The irritation that he felt towards Chad had no problem usurping Jensen's worry, and he almost felt relieved. "Do you ever mind your own business?" "Nope, not really. Besides, Jared was the one who came groveling to me to beg me to talk to you. Figured that he needed a human perspective on this stupid love affair you've got going. I think I'm the only human he knows or something. I might have an ego, but I can admit that I'm not exactly a good choice for relationship help."
"Jared came to you?"
Jensen couldn't keep the disbelief out of his voice. He didn't turn to look at Chad when he spoke, just kept staring out the window at Jared. "Yeah, well, he was desperate, I guess. He gets why you're upset, kinda. I tried to explain it to him, but eventually it was just easier to steal your damn file myself and drag him over here. He was just too miserable and hung up on the mates thing. And I'd call him a pathetic loser, but you look just about as good as he does."
"Thanks," Jensen said dryly.
"Yeah, well, just being honest. Of course, if you want, you could quit staring out the window at him and go talk or something. Just a suggestion," Chad said as he flopped down into one of the old yellow vinyl seats that the laundromat provided for its customers. Jensen snorted and made himself move away from the window, and more importantly, away from Chad. He wasn't about to do anything the bastard suggested. He was only going to wait until Chad's jacket finished drying, and then calmly suggest that he leave before Jensen called the cops to have him arrested for loitering or harassment or something. If Jared was still skulking around by that point, Jensen would have him reported as well. After that, he'd be seraph-free for a while. Neither humans nor seraphs wanted trouble with the law, and while he had his doubts about Chad, he knew Jared well enough to know that he'd leave without putting up a fuss. It was a good, solid plan. The trouble was that Jensen knew Jared. As much as he wanted to just dismiss everything that he had learned about him as deceptive, brainwashing trash, Jensen couldn't deny that there were just certain things that couldn't be falsehoods. Maybe there were people out there, con men and the like, who could pretend to be a totally different person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But Jared wasn't one of them. And if Jared wasn't out to deceive Jensen completely, then there were still parts of him that... Jensen shook his head to clear it of his trail of thought. He glanced over his shoulder to see Chad blatantly staring at him. The instant that they made eye contact, Chad raised his eyebrows and gave an incredibly unsubtle glance to the window. Unwillingly, Jensen's gaze followed Chad's motion, and he could see that the summer wind and gray clouds of the day had finally given in to the rain that had been threatening all afternoon. The sun hadn't quite set yet, thanks to the long days of summer, so the gray sunset outlined Jared's pathetic figure as rain pelted against him. The overcoat was already starting to cling to the Seraph's form, and his brown hair was matted down against his head. The streetlights kicked on as both the storm and the disappearing sun deemed it dark enough, and the additional light made Jared look like a pathetic hunchback, Victor Hugo's creature in a modern-day world, but still alone. Jensen snorted to himself at the thought, and simultaneously kicked himself for being an avid reader. It had gotten him into the Seraph mess to begin with, and now gave him stupid romantic notions. He should have spent more time indulging himself in regular human sports. He should have listened to his parents about finding other hobbies when his first few applications to the academies were declined. But he hadn't listened, and he couldn't change the past. He also couldn't change the fact that he'd managed to mess enough with Jared's mind that the guy was hanging outside a laundromat like some sort of creeper, and was apparently so distraught that he'd sought Chad's advice on humanity. Jensen was many things, but he'd never considered himself cruel. He could be a jerk. Sometimes he could even be an asshole. But then again, he'd never met a guy who didn't have that ability. Even though he'd never seen it, he suspected that even Jared would have that capability in the right situation. Jared and the Academy had hurt Jensen, fucking stomped all over his one castle in the air. But if what Chad said was true, Jared didn't really understand that he'd done that. Or he understood that he had, but he didn't understand the why or how or something like that. The point was that after a little time away from the situation, Jensen could see that maybe Jared hadn't quite realized how the hidden agenda of the academies would hurt Jensen. Maybe he hadn't quite comprehended how keeping their secret, how using their secret, would make Jensen feel. If that was true, then Jensen could maybe just help the guy out, explain things to him so that when Jared was ready to get back on the dating horse, he'd be a little wiser in his decisions if he were to date another human instead of finding another Seraph to mate with. The thought made Jensen's heart twinge a little, but he ignored that. He wasn't over Jared yet. He hadn't had time to deal with their breakup properly, but he wasn't going to be able to work through that before talking to Jared. It was just the way that Jensen's life had always been, though, and he knew how to deal with it. He could hide his own hurt and feelings away for a while. Maybe by talking to Jared he'd be able to make a difference. Maybe it wasn't going to be the difference in human-Seraph relations that he had hoped to make when he'd first started in on his quest to get into the academies, but it could be a start. Having made up his mind, Jensen took a fortifying breath and released it before heading towards the door. Jared huddled into himself for warmth as the wind buffeted against him. He had thought it was cold without his feathers when he sat in his lonely nest, but he had been very mistaken. The chill of his apartment had nothing on nature and the outdoors. He was used to the wind being a friend or a challenge to his flying skills. He loved it when the warm summer rains came, and he could glide through their unpredictable patterns, letting the rain pelt at his exposed skin. His mother had been forever afraid that he would get caught out in a thunderstorm and be struck dead by lightning, but he'd always been careful to avoid those. His body knew when the storm was about to take a turn for the worst, and he knew when to go to ground. But without his feathers, his wings felt frozen as the wind and water made his coat cling to their nakedness. He had expected them to feel like his arms or his legs, but he should have known better. They'd always been covered in feathers, and they were much more sensitive to everything without their defensive barriers. Even when unsightly patches had appeared because of his plucking, the surrounding feathers had offered protection. Not now, though. Now they felt all the more exposed and hideous even with their fabric covering. In his reflection in the laundromat window, Jared looked almost human. If he was still in possession of his feathers, they'd be poking out underneath the hem of his covering garment, but without them there, he wasn't immediately identifiable as a seraph. His wings didn't even take up as much room in the coat as they normally would have. Their bulk was non-existent without the warm layer of down and flight feathers. His reflection had mocked him as he watched Jensen fight with Chad. His reflection was human. His reflection would know what to say to his mate to make things better. His reflection would still be desirable to his mate, not some winged freak that wasn't able to give Jensen whatever it was that he was wanting. Eventually, Jared had made himself quit looking at his own image in the window, and he'd been grateful because while he could still hear the voices inside, he had no desire to see Jensen's lips form the words that denied their partnership, denied their status as mates. The words hurt Jared terribly, and he fought the urge to hunch down on himself and cry. There were still people on the street hurrying to get to shelter as the rain turned from a light sprinkle into a downpour, and he did not want to draw their attention away from their goals by doing anything unusual. Chad and Jensen continued to bicker for a while, and Jared knew the instant that Jensen's eyes fell upon him. He could feel his mate's gaze rake over his body, and it left him feeling exposed and raw. It was as unnatural a feeling as being away from Jensen was, and Jared, not for the first time, wondered if there was something wrong with him that his relationship with his mate was so abnormal. The uncomfortable feeling of Jensen's gaze went away after a moment, and all that Jared had left was the cold discomfort of the increasingly colder needles of rain driving against him. The temptation to seek shelter in one of the other nearby buildings was nearly overpowering, but Chad had been insistent on the idea of Jared staying outside the laundromat in full view of the windows. The human had been flabbergasted at first when Jared had shown up at the academy offices, begging for his help. As Jared explained his situation, Chad had gone from looking at him like he was crazy to looking at him like he was an idiot, then to looking at him like he was a sad idiot. To be fair, Jared had felt like a sad idiot, standing there with a crocheted throw over his shoulders to keep his naked wings away from prying eyes. He couldn't exactly blame Chad for feeling the same way. Chad had shooed him away with the set of instructions that consisted of precisely two things. The first was that Jared had to go get himself a coat, because the blanket looked fucking ridiculous, man. The second was that he'd call Jared the first day that it looked like a storm was going to happen, and that Jared had damn well better answer, because Chad wasn't looking to get in the Dr. Phil business. Without any further explanation, Jared had been ushered away from Chad's cubicle. He had thought about calling Jensen again, thought about going to see his mate himself, but he'd been too afraid to do it. Now he almost wished he had. To be rejected to his face was one thing. It was impossibly hurtful, but Jared could keep that pain to himself. But now Jared's own plans had backfired on him. Jensen had rejected their mating to a fellow human, and it tore at Jared's insides. Despite wanting nothing more than to go back to his nest and curl up under the warm blankets that he had purchased for their bed, Jared stayed outside in the rain. Chad had made Jared promise to stay by the windows. No matter what he overheard, he was to stay there until either Jensen came to get him or Chad did. Jared couldn't imagine a situation where Jensen would come to fetch him now, not after another angry rejection. But he stood there anyway. He didn't have much choice. Chad had driven them over to the laundromat, and Jared wouldn't have risked flying in the current weather, even if his wings were in perfect condition. He could hire a cab, but he doubted that any of them would want his now soaking wet body in the back of their vehicles. And he didn't want to waste the rest of his nesting money on it anyway. If it was to help Jensen, that would be one thing. He wouldn't have any problems asking his parents for a little more cash for that. It would be expected of him. While human parents paid for lavish weddings and graduation parties for their children, good seraph parents would aid their children in funding their nesting. Now that Jared thought about it, the similarity to humans was sort of startling. Graduations were seen as a step towards a successful career for a human child, and marriages were seen as a bonding between two individuals who would supposedly spend the rest of their lives together. For a seraph, nesting was like a hybrid between the two. It was a fact that Jensen would have found fascinating not even a month earlier. He would have been excited about it and pestered Jared for all the little details and any other insightful comparisons that Jared could have made. That old Jensen had loved Jared's people. That Jensen had loved Jared, and the thought of it made Jared's stomach twist up inside as the feeling of loss made itself known again. The silence from inside the laundromat unnerved Jared. He could still hear the swish of the washing machine that Chad had thrown his jacket into, but there was no other sound coming through the thick glass panes. He tugged his coat more tightly around his frame and strained his eyes to watch the gloomy sunset. On the horizon, he could make out some slight smatterings of oranges and pinks whenever the clouds broke, but mostly it was just a dismal gray that got darker as the sun disappeared from view. Jared figured that there was some sort of poetic symbolism to it, but he didn't exactly want to dwell on that. He'd really read too many books on romance and not enough on reality. If he'd spent just a bit more time reading about the human psyche, he might not have fucked up his mating. He might be welcome in Jensen's arms. They might be curled together at the moment, the storm nothing but a howling soundtrack to their canoodling. The door to the laundromat creaked open, and Jared hunched his shoulders. He hadn't heard any footsteps clicking on the cement sidewalk, so it had to be Chad signaling their defeat. Jared attempted to take comfort in the idea that he'd at least tried, but it wasn't truly any comfort at all. He turned to face Chad and thank him for his help, but it was Jensen who filled his vision and said, "Hey, man, you maybe want to come in. It's kind of icky out here."